Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Welcome to the second and final hour of the show. It is a Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. Tonight is the 6th of February, 2025. Thank you so much for staying with us and joining us on the show. We really, really, really appreciate you. +27 734 703 520. That is the number that you can use to talk to us and interact with us on the show. And we really want to hear from you. It is a Thursday, one of our biggest segments on the show. And thanks to you, by the way, for that. We love it. Love it, love it, love it. It is a Thursday, one of our biggest. And today it is Shapeshifter Thursday. And that means we're speaking to one African that we really, really admire. And today we're talking to Dr. Londi Wesibisi Mabuye. And if you're wondering who that is, where have you been, first of all? You should have been here. You should have known her, right? But anyways, she is our shapeshifter today. So, that is Dr. Londi Wesibisi Mabuye, the founder and director at Kids Dental Home. She has been involved in oral health industry at least for over 10 years with a diverse background in tertiary training of student dentists in different local universities and extensively involved in community outreach dental programs. She's joining us this evening to tell us a little bit about herself and what she does, and she's on the line. Good evening, Doc, and welcome to the show.
Good evening, good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. A bit exhausted, but God is good.
Ah, God is indeed good, right? And the year so far, how would you characterize it?
Oh, I must say, God has been just so awesome to me, my family, and my business. It's been a very, very good start.
It's a good start, and that's what we want, hey?
Yeah, that's what we want. So I'm really grateful to God for that.
Fantastic. Did you take some time away for December, like went away with family and just relaxed? I'm sure 2024 was also a very busy year.
I wish, hey? Not yet.
Oh, my. Okay.
You know, when you're in the field working with kids, that's when the parents are able to take them to the dentist. So for us, that time is the busiest of them all.
It's the busiest of them all. But Doc, I'm sure you also deserve some time out to the baton.
No, but it's loading.
It's loading. Okay, that's a good one. and we are told that 2025 is 20 thriving for some people, and some are characterizing 2025 as 20 high five. Do you have a slogan? How are you seeing 2025?
Well, I see it as, personally, I see it as a year of possibility.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I said to one gentleman at the gym, the personal trainer, I said to him, for me, 2025 is a year of surprising myself.
Surprising yourself. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So that's what it means to me. And that will mean surprising myself, of what I can deliver, what I can do, you know, and really challenging myself to new heights. I
to
really want to surprise myself to do that
heights.
Very thing that I thought is going to be impossible or is going to be challenging. So it's a year of surprising yourself, showing up and just surprising yourself in every aspect of your life.
That's amazing, Doc. And some people would look at you and say, I'm a doc, you've done it all. I mean, you know, you've probably, when they look at you, would say you've reached the pinnacle of success. You're a doctor, for example. And some people have followed your work that you do in this industry. It's been over 10 years now. Is there still something else, Doc? Like, haven't you reached that point where you're like,
so, you know, you mentioned 10 years. It doesn't even sound like it's me. I'm thinking maybe the time. It ran so fast. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So it's still. I feel so old already just to mention that. But anyway, God will give me the grace.
Let's pretend you've been here for just 2 years, Doc. You know, we've just been here.
I think they are not listening. That will make me feel better.
Yeah, they are not listening. Don't worry. It's you and I. You've been here for just 2 years, Doc. You know, how does the 2 years feel?
So it feels, it actually feels like I just started really a few months ago. I still look back and think, when I started actually, I started from humble beginnings. So it's been a journey of growth, lots of hard work, lots of prayers, lots of tears, lots of celebrations, and so that's how I can sum it up.
That's amazing. And so that's why this year is a year of surprising yourself, I suppose, and reaching new heights. Because you are just 2 years. You know what, Doc? You are just 2 years. People must just relax. You are just 2 years, right?
Definitely not. I want to surprise myself. When I talk about that personal trainer thing, so I went to him. For instance, this year, health-wise, I want to have a six-pack, and I want to surprise myself that I can have 3 kids and have a six-pack.
That's an amazing
Right?
goal, right? That's certainly an
Isn't
amazing goal.
that
Yeah.
a
That's amazing. Okay, now let's go back a little
surprise?
bit, Doc. Where were you born, and what were some of the conditions that you can remember about where you were born?
So I was born in KZN,
Okay.
right? So from KwaZulu-Natal in a small town called Newcastle,
Newcastle, okay.
right? So I come from a family of five, and I'm the third of the five. Okay, and the conditions were really that we had. I come from a very warm family, full of love and support, amazing, amazing parents and
Amazing
leaders,
support.
just not at home, but in the community as well. Right? And then our parents wanted the best for us. So my dad was a serious hustler, a hustler of note.
Of note, right?
And I think the hustling spirit comes from that, brother. Right. Really an entrepreneur at heart. I love business. So I think I took it from my dad because I saw him in struggles and his hustle. And what was interesting is that we were actually part of it. He would take us with us to sell on the street and all that. So from that hustle, he managed to take the five of us to tertiary education. And I could get my training as a dentist. So those are the that's where I come from.
That's where you come from. So Newcastle, if I'm correct, Semnambithi, right?
Yeah, we are Dlulem Nambithi.
Oh, yeah,
It's like I
Zula.
think, yeah.
Oh, okay, all
I
right.
think it's like an hour
And what were some of
from here.
the what were some of the challenges that you faced perhaps in your young age? And I appreciate you come from a supportive family, very warm and loving family. But there's always those, challenges here and there. What are some that you could remember from your childhood?
Like I've alluded, the biggest for us was the financial constraints. And I remember it manifesting in a way that when I needed help with my dental health, I grew up, now you won't see it now, because now the wires have done its work. Now I look like a little Mrs. South Africa, but sure, it was hectic.
It was hectic.
But in any case, I had serious challenges with my teeth, and it had affected my
Your
confidence, my
confidence,
self-esteem.
yes.
And daddy couldn't really afford to take me to a dentist, let alone an orthodontist, right? A specialized help for the type of condition. Right? So it was not nice because it was affecting me at the time, and there was nothing that could be done. And I remember daddy taking me. So if Newcastle, Vryheid is also like, further from Newcastle, maybe like another 45 to an hour, 45 minutes. And he took me there to the specialist. And he and gave us a quotation, you can imagine, with the braces, right? So we came back. I mean, before we left there, and, you know, Daddy told me that, no, you know what, we can't afford this. And yeah. But what was really amazing is that when I left those rooms, right, my smile was still not transformed. But when I came out of there, I came out of there with a dream.
With a dream. Ooh, love it.
Yeah.
Love
so
it.
I looked at that space and I looked at everything. It was my first time ever seeing dental rooms. Like, in fact, it was my first time going there. So I looked and I purposed in my heart. I'm going to become a dentist. I'm going to change the game for myself. And I'm going to change the game for all other kids who cannot afford our family at this point.
Yeah. And at what age was this when you made that decision?
I will tell you, I must have been, because I was still staying at home. So I must have, what was standard five? Oh my goodness, telling at my age.
Grade
but
seven.
We already know that now. Luckily, it was not form. You know that group of form what? At least mine was standard.
Yeah, so it was standard, right?
So that must have been 12, 13, right? Standard 12, 13.
I think 12, 13 there. All right. And I'm going to come back to this one when we look at the career, because I'm quite, you know, surprised and in a good way to say at that age, you already knew what you wanted to be, particularly a doctor. And I think a lot of our, and I know I might be a little bit unfair, but I think a lot of our people of our color, because of lack of career guidance at that age, I mean, I'm not even thinking about a career and all those sorts of stuff. But for you to have that epiphany at that particular age is something that's really interesting. So it affected your confidence. There were issues with that, and finances was one of the biggest ones. When you stepped out of your house, what were the problems, challenges, issues that you could see? Poverty, maybe, outside in the community, drugs, fights, all those sort of things that you typically find in a predominantly black-owned township. And what were some of those from your end?
Yeah, it was, I would say we were all in the same boat in you know, where I grew up, pretty much, you know, the financial challenges. But also is that, which then I'm also grateful to my parents, is that my peers then, they didn't really want to pursue school and all that. You know, there was a lot of high pregnancy. And my parents would warn me and say, look, you know, you shouldn't befriend this group of people. And but later on, I appreciated and say it was actually a good thing. It was a good transfer for my parents. So most of my friends then, they didn't really make it to tertiary. I think they were just sidetracked by their circumstances. And also, I think that supportive environment is important, because as much as we didn't have much, but they did believe so much in me and say, you know what, you can do it.
You can do
it. You are going to be a doctor, and, you know, we believe in you. And that was enough.
Friends
on it, for me, that was enough. Because that's what I wore when I stepped out of the house. I knew I was going to be
a doctor.
I was going to be a dentist and help the community.
Oh my, that's really amazing. And I suppose it speaks to the importance of parents supporting their kids, even if it's not necessarily financially, but just that belief, you know, that reassurance from your parents to say you are going to be a doctor is enough for you as you step out of your house and go and face the world as a child as well. Primary and high school, do you remember those years? What were they like?
Sure, those are very interesting, let me tell you. You're taking me back.
Let's go back, right?
Back. Wow. So man, I was young then. I can have this picture of myself, you know, young and innocent. And, not that I'm no longer innocent, but yes,
we get you.
My high school years, I went to a boarding school.
Okay.
My boarding school in Masabatini. Because, you know, like I've said, my dad wanted the best for us. So he believed Elokshini, there were no good schools in our era, when you know, throughout our era, and the good schools were boarding schools at that time. So he took me there, and I spent good 5 years at the boarding school. One of the best boarding schools at the time in Mahlabathini, St. Vika. So, and then I passed my matric. Now listen to this. We're going to connect with the support and my matric. Then I passed my matric. But I didn't pass it with a good marks. Good marks, what does it mean? Or what it meant for me then was that to be accepted at the university or at a medical school. So my results were not good enough to be accepted at a medical school. Right? But I had passed my matric. So then, you know, pressure and peer pressure, and my friends are like, no, show me. We're all passed. And you know, most of the, like now, and this is why I'm so sensitive about, you know, the December time, people looking for their results and everything around it. Because I know from a personal experience, it's not a, it's a very tense time for both, you know, the kids and their parents as well. And sometimes I think we shine the spotlight on the kids, but also from parents' perspective as well. It's really a trying time when your child is at university. And And because sometimes also they have good marks, but it's about what the next step and all that. And you have to carry all that anxiety as a parent. But in any case, so then a friend of mine said, no, you know what? With these marks, they can actually accept you at University of Natal for marketing. Don't worry. I'm like, good. So I don't have to sit at home the whole year explaining to the whole world why I'm at home. So that sounds like a plan. You know, apply. Then a good Samaritan made a call. That was my aunt, right? She lives in Springs and said, we know that you want to be a doctor and you didn't do very well. Now we are offering you an opportunity to redo your matric. Come stay by us and so that you improve your marks. So I thought, you know what? I am not there. I am going to, I think it was called South Pine at the time. And I'm going to do marketing, you know? But as my parents sat down with me to say, but this is what you've always wanted. You know, another year. It's not nice to repeat, by the way. I'm not sure if you have repeated a grade. You feel like the whole world is just falling on you. Yeah, and I think it also comes with this, the whole stigma when people ask you, you know, so what are you doing this year? And you have to go like, no, actually, I'm still repeating my matric.
It's traumatic.
But anyway, so then that was a huge breakthrough. And I went to Springs and I repeated the whole year. Did my math to improve my math. So just so that I can be, to revive my dream. Now I'm talking about one dream and not making it to fade. Repeated the whole year. And then that's how I was able to be accepted to medical school. You know, so I really want to encourage the matriculants, maybe in the space where you are, you feel like myself then, that, you know, things didn't go your way and all that. It's okay sometimes to repeat a grade. And it's not about failing, but it's about the lessons learned. So don't waste that experience. Don't waste that experience, because also if you want to take shortcuts and now go do marketing, you are robbing the world of what really God has predestined by about your life. You know,
that's very true.
God has already proposed that you are going to be a doctor, a dentist, and you're going to help this number of kids. And now you are nowhere to be found. And you are missing out on your blessing as well. So it's important to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. It hurts, but you need to really deal with that. And at some point, you know, start the journey again. So it's okay. It's okay. Whatever whatever they're going through, it's okay.
It's okay.
And to the parents, please, lots of support. Lots of affirmations to them. And because at that point they need to be affirmed. You know what? It's not the end of the world. You can you can make it.
That's really amazing, and thank you for that assurance as well. When you were at boarding school, there's often stereotypes about children from boarding school. They are naughty. They think they are better. You know, they've got this nice English accent and all that because abafunde lokshini bona. You know, they bafunda le ndaweni ezithe xaxa kancane. You know, so there's often stereotypes about people who went to boarding school. Would you say some of the stereotypes are true, or how did you respond to that type of stereotype?
The truth is, most of it is true.
Oh, okay, okay.
They are not,
yeah.
But let's just say they are naughty.
Yeah, let's leave it right there.
But I think one good thing about the boarding school is the environment that is conducive just to study
I see.
Those other things that on the side,
yeah.
But you are there for a certain purpose. So
yes.
the whole situation is about you. It's about focus.
Yeah.
And really, about you. So
yeah.
That's one good thing about it. But
Were you
naughty? It comes with the territory.
It comes with the territory. Were you naughty at school, at boarding school? Did they have to call your parents? So you were not okay.
We're
not
going to answer the general question.
Okay. No, I get it.
You want the evangelist now to hear, and what's going to happen now?
The evangelist is not listening. Don't worry about him. We'll get him on that.
We must make sure this doesn't get to him.
No, we'll get him on that virtual prayer. He must just stay there. You know, that's where he should be staying. Here, he doesn't have to listen. Don't worry.
You are the naughty one.
Okay, let me get back to serious work that I need to do here. Let's talk about boarding school, university now. How was medical school? I hear it's difficult.
Yeah, let me think. For me, I think the level of difficulty differs for everybody.
Yes.
And I think that will include your background, your exposure,
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. So for me, it was difficult in the sense that, again, financial constraints. I didn't have the basics, like textbooks.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God for the student body, Christian community that, sourced the books for me.
Yes.
The secondhand books, and they borrowed me the books to use for each year.
Yes.
But also the difficulty, I think, in terms of adjusting as well, switching from... from home setup or for me, plus boarding school and just being on your own. But just not that, also the style of studying is different with your studying for matric, and now all of a sudden, there's no teacher you don't get that. Those are lecturers. That's why they're for lecturers, not teachers. So most of the time you're on your own. They just give the background of what needs to be done, and you run on your own.
You run on your own.
I think that was the most difficult part for me, which took me like the full good year to understand, adjust, adapt.
Sure.
That was quite difficult. It was really difficult for me.
Sure.
But after a year, at least I had gotten, how the whole thing works.
Yeah.
And so it got better.
Yeah.
With the right support also.
Yeah.
If you surround with yourself with good friends, I think that's important as well.
Yeah. And what made you not to give up during the difficulty of those years, like in medical school?
I will tell you without shadow of a doubt, this was the situation at home. I knew that I needed to change the game for my parents. Yeah, because it was really tough. It was really, really tough. I know that sometimes I would just cry to myself, looking at what mommy is depositing my supposed to be my pocket money for the month.
Yeah, it's there.
And I think for me, it was not that she's sending me 100 rand.
Yeah.
But it was just to see her sacrifice in whatever little she has.
Yes.
And that will really touch my heart.
Yes.
It was so difficult. I was one of those students that with every the university that I trained, those times there were usually strikes every year.
Yeah.
Beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And it was students who don't have or didn't have the registration fees, and I was part of those. So we just had to toy our way to registration list. You know, unfortunately, but it was that tough that when the school, let's say it was the reopening was on the 14th of January.
Yeah.
I had to be here the 2nd so that I can start that queue every day of negotiating.
Yeah.
It was tough.
It was really tough.
And you must remember by then, when you come earlier, you don't have accommodation because you have not been accepted yet.
Exactly.
You know, you still need to be, so you spend the whole day on those lines.
Mm.
But like I say, I knew where I came from and I knew where I was going.
Yes.
That one was very clear.
That was very
So it's
clear.
Important to have a clear vision of where I want to go, because that is what keeps you going.
Yeah.
So I knew that my mom cannot suffer like that for long.
Yeah.
I want to build a house for
them.
Then I need to buy a car for them. And some of these things I was privileged enough and God was gracious that I could do some of them.
You could do
for them.
Oh, that's amazing. And now you graduate, then you reach your dream, right? The dream that you realized at like 12, 13 years or thereabouts. What was the world like as you got that, finally, this is it, I've done it?
Sure, yeah, hey. Mm. Now you're taking me back to my oath-taking.
Yes.
Oh, that is so special, hey. I must invite you to one of our oath-taking ceremonies.
Please.
At the university.
Yes.
It is so special.
Sure.
Yeah, so, but sure, there was another hurdle, hey, because just for the parents to get to the oath taking, it was another hurdle. We didn't have a car.
Yeah.
They had to borrow a car. And, you know, but I just felt so proud that, you know, I didn't let my parents down.
Mm.
That that was number one.
Mm.
Because, you know, for them to be in that crowd and their daughter was part of the list that was, you know, taking the oath. And of course, I had a couple of cum laudes now. So I was one of those that had lots and lots of rewards that I got.
That's amazing.
But also, my heart was so full of gratitude now to God.
Yeah.
Because some start the journey.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we are excluded.
Yeah.
For some reason, the parents, they come and you know, get a call to say something happened tragic. And so, you know, I was full of tears to see, my God, why me, that you allow me until the end.
Yeah.
And I'm still alive.
Yeah.
And my parents to witness and experience all this. So I had, you know, mixed emotions. I was excited. And it was also all those emotions just going through
emotions.
To say, Lord, I am grateful for this opportunity.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You, amongst other things, you went on to do work with the Metropolitan Health Risk. I know that you also did work with MMI and all that. What was the working life like before you started Kids Dental Home?
So let me tell you, so after that, I did my CompServe in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And then came back to Gauteng because I've always known that the opportunities, and especially where I want to go in life, I needed to be in Gauteng for opportunities.
Yes.
So I took a step of faith and came back, resigned, came back to work the site.
Yeah.
So I started a private practice and worked with another doctor.
Yeah.
And then from there, I went to the university to do some advanced training as well.
Yes.
But and then over the years, then I had an opportunity to work at the these training institutions.
Mm.
I'm a teacher at heart.
Mm.
I'm very passionate about empowering others, especially youth. So I love teaching. I love imparting knowledge, sharing, you know, my experiences and my expertise. I love that. Also empowering communities.
Yeah.
So then I had an opportunity to work at the university. So I worked at VETS.
Yeah.
And, you know, to date, I still do, I do part-time at Medunza.
Yes.
But now it's known as Sifako Makgatho Health Sciences and also at University of Pretoria. So I do a bit of lecturing there and we are training the young dentists. That's what I'm involved with. But before that also, yes, like you've said, I did, you know, I was invited by Metropolitan. So I worked for corporate, which was something different for me. It was, and the reason why I decided to do that, by then I was married, so I wanted to be present, I wanted to be a present mom, and I wanted to step away from clinical setup. So I wanted to a lighter job in terms of time, that I could be there for my kids because we could work online. You know, because for that industry, MMI in Metropolitan, I was working as a dental advisor. So I'm really been blessed to do sort of like a 360 degrees in my profession. I've worked as a dental advisor, you know, advising medical aides, you know, I was a consultant. I've done the community work, I've done the clinical work. So I've really, you know, done like a full circle. So that was so pleasant for me to work for the Metropolitan because it was really a something dynamic and had not explored that before.
So,
And I gained a lot of experience from there. That's another thing. A lot of lessons learned, a lot of experience. And that now I have, those experiences are now applying in my current business. So they've helped me a lot to put shape and form to my current business, especially coming from corporate world.
That's very true. Okay, lovely. And what inspired then Kids Dental? When did you have an epiphany again? Did you have like a moment when you were sitting somewhere and you're like, no, man, I think I should pivot in this direction?
Sure. Mara, when we sang, man, how do you know that? When
I sang, I'm part-time. I must part-time, girl, love.
I tell the truth. I didn't invite you, love.
Yeah, when and now
don't have to know.
Now keep
the same way the evangelists don't have to know other things. We also want to.
Okay, okay, that's a good comeback. That's definitely a good comeback.
But look, how it really happened is that when I was still working at VETS, because we were working, I was in the community department. It's called community dentistry. It's called community dentistry. So what happened was that we would go out to the communities with the mobile clinic. We had mobile, the government mobile clinics. So I looked at that and I thought, you know what, there's a gap because we couldn't handle all the requests that we were receiving. And I just thought, you know what, you know, God placed in my heart the whole need about pediatric dentistry. And that's how it came about. From that, I saw a gap. And I thought, you know what, this is what I want to do. In fact, I resigned from my comfortable job at a corporate job to pursue my dream.
Sure. And looking back then, I think must be now what, 16, 17 years in this space, what would you say has been your biggest highlight in your career? Was it studying the dentistry work here in corporate? Where do you see, you know, your highest point?
The highest point will definitely be opening my own private practice. Taking that step of faith and say, I'm resigning. Do you know what it means to resign from your salary? Your comfort zone? Right?
Yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah, that's difficult. It's really, really difficult. But I think what makes it difficult also is when, you know, again, I'm going to go back to the support system.
Mm.
I'm really family orientated.
Mm.
Because I will tell you some of the challenges I faced when I was starting out then.
Mm.
Some of the, you know, my own colleagues, mm. they said, you know what, you're not going to make it.
Sure.
Yeah, no, because that time when we're talking 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of niche, you know, towards pediatric dentistry. So people said, no, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the area, the spot where you are, definitely no one's going to support you.
Sure.
Because we're in, so to say, in a white area.
Yeah.
So they said, no, no, white people will not come to you. And all this negativity, you know, somehow they do, you think they about it and say, you know, but this guy has been around forever, 40 years of experience. So he must know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But again, it's important to have a vision, very clear, clear goals, and a support system that is very strong. I'm very grateful also for my husband, you know, who'd say, you know what, no, but this can be done. Mm. The fact that it was not done before definitely can be done now, you know?
Yeah.
And guess what? 6 years later, our practice is out of control. We actually had a meeting earlier on to see how do we expand and, you know, and scale it up. Already we scaled up from when we started, because in December we sort of like opened a new practice. So which is another highlight, you know. But I mean, if I had listened to the naysayers, and I thought, okay, this man has been around, he knows what he's talking about, but he does not know.
Hey.
And he can't see, he doesn't see what I see.
Exactly.
Because when God places vision and places a dream, it's for you and for him.
Yeah.
So it's important that we don't lose focus.
Yeah.
And so the highlight is definitely opening my private practice and, you know, setting up. That was quite challenging.
Yeah.
And number two, 5 years later, which was last year, 5 years later, which was last year, is that we could open our dream practice. Because when I started, you know, I had, let me tell you what happened when we started. We started with one chair, right?
Yeah.
One chair. And... sorry.
No problem.
We started with one chair.
Mm.
And then later on, we... sorry, I'm just... I'm just kidding me here.
No problem.
So, I'm sorry about that.
No problem.
We started with one chair.
Mm.
And then... but just to see that after 5 years, how the Lord has really elevated me and we could get to the dream practice, which we launched... or rather the launch is still coming up and you are invited, my friend.
Thank you so by the much. Way. Sure, thank you so much. Should be there. Definitely.
Yeah, but don't tell others.
No, they won't know. They won't know. Don't know.
Yeah, and now we have a fully fledged dental center, pediatric center.
Mm.
You know, with your cutting edge equipment, state of the art facility, and just started with that one chair. With all the negativity. So again, to young people, there will always be naysayers.
They will.
They will tell you it's not done.
Yeah.
But it's when you can't do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that's where we are now. And another highlight quickly is our mobile clinic. It has always been a dream of mine to own my own mobile clinic.
Mm.
And the Lord blessed in 2022 during COVID, we could require a mobile dental clinic. So, you know, that's the hugest highlight. And lastly, I will not mention all of it because really God has been good.
Indeed.
To me and to us is to be blessed with the team that I have.
Yeah.
I've got the best team ever. Best team ever.
Yes.
Who really see the vision of helping the community. They go over and beyond their call of duty. And I'm eternally grateful for each one of them.
Sure, that's amazing. And then I'm sure when they hear and listen to this interview, that will give them also a bit more encouraged to continue doing what they are doing. And thanks for that as well. Now, I've taken much of your time, so I want to draw to a close, but I want to ask you this. Abo doctor, kuthiwa banemali, right? So... I want to ask Uti, how is your relationship with money as a doctor?
I like your sense of humor, eh? Sure. Right, thanks. Bani mali ish and kosho.
Okay. Okay. No, I hear you.
But one thing I can tell you about money that I've learned over the years.
Yeah.
Is instant gratification versus delayed gratification.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I think there's one thing that I've learned over the years to say some of these things that will come, but later.
Yeah.
Sure. They will come later. I haven't been too bad. I tried. But there's one thing I'm always mindful for is, you know, really instant gratification, you know, like I say, versus the delayed. And I think that is so important, especially when you're running a business.
That's very true. Okay, so yegale yabo Dr. Nemali for now. For now. I'm going to come back to it. I want to come back for today, for this conversation. Yeah. We will leave it right there. Right? Now, let's close. Yeah. What advice would you give to your younger self, if any, as you look back at all the years, what you've achieved, amazing work that you've done? There's been challenges, yes, we granted, but God has been good. So what would be your advice to your younger self?
My younger self, the advice would be, you know, be patient with yourself, you know, to have been more patient with myself.
I love that.
And also learn to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Another one would be know your limitations as well, that you can't do everything. And I learned the hard way, you know, through working with people, you know. Hopefully I'm a better person now than when we were talking of those many years back, you know.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so that was a very valuable lesson.
Yeah.
And that another lesson is that, you know, it's important also to take care of your health. Well, sometimes we pursue money and pursue all these things and we neglect ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, and that's what happened with me last year. I gained so much weight. Now I'm sharing with you this. Really,
yes.
I lost myself in the process.
Sure.
You know, because when the business grows, they're excited. But now, then you neglect yourself,
Then
forgot, learned what you needed to eat. I needed to go, you know, do some physical exercise and so forth. And at the end, I didn't like the picture that I saw.
Yes.
So it's important that we always try and create that balance as well.
Yes, sure. That's really important. And would you do anything?
But have fun. The biggest advice I was going to have fun.
Yeah, have fun.
It's important to have fun.
Yeah.
And eat some.
Yeah. That's really important. That's definitely really important.
Yeah.
And would you do anything differently?
Let's see. I don't think, definitely not. I wouldn't change anything about my career, about my upbringing. But what I really want, maybe I could have done earlier, that I can share with the young people now is to find a mentor, which now I know every aspect of my life has a mentor.
Yeah.
Find a mentor for the business, for the business.
Yeah.
If you're married as a couple, have a mentor, a spiritual mentor. I think to have a mentor in life, it is
very important.
So important.
Yeah.
And you know what I've learned?
Yeah.
It shortens the way for you. You don't have to go and try, and it has already been tested.
Yes.
They will tell you no.
Yes.
Okay. If you move that direction, Lundi, you're definitely going to be bankrupt. Don't buy it.
Don't
buy a car now. Right? So things like those. So if you want to get into business and things like those, definitely find a mentor for yourself and be teachable. Because you can have a mentor, but if they are advising you and you know it all, it's still not gonna benefit you.
Sure.
So I would have gotten the mentor earlier. And that's what I would have changed.
Much, much earlier. A mentor, really important.
Much, much earlier.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's really important. Final words, and I'm asking, going to be very deliberate on this question. Final words to a young black girl. Some are in Mnambithi right now. Some are in the rural of Limpopo. Some are in Kenya. We've got listeners as far as Zambia and the rest of that. But predominantly and particularly for a black girl who's going through the most, life is difficult at home. Things don't look like they're going to turn up very well. They failed matric, some of them, and they feel like life, this is it. I'm not gonna make it. You made it despite all the financial challenges and related. And I'm just zooming in on the finances, because that's quite very critical for a lot of black children. University is a dream. Despite all we do, we try, but it's always a dream for the black child. We find it very difficult to get finances, to get space, to get all those sort of things. But generally, there's a black young child that looks up to you, that may not know you at times, or may hear this interview. What would you say to them as final thoughts?
So I think what I would say to them is that, number one, God has not forgotten you.
That's true.
Neither forsaken you. And your dreams are valid to him.
Yes.
As much as they are to you. Right? But while you, I always say, while you struggle with the finances, your duty is to make sure that the academic part is taken care of.
It's taken care of. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So you can't let go.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Have a good academic record that, you know, funders would cannot even ignore. So while you're praying about the situation, you need to work hard. All right, so working hard on yourself as well to develop yourself. And that's what I did.
Sure.
I repeated my method.
Yeah.
That's working on myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So it's important to work on yourself. And you can't let both. I think that is so important.
Yeah.
And number two, I'm going to say quickly.
Yeah.
Never forget where you come from.
Never, never, ever.
Never. Once you have reached that pinnacle and that, never, ever forget where you come from.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've went back to my aunt, not my husband, and say, thank you. Thank you so much. I wouldn't be a doctor today if it wasn't for.
Yeah.
But literally sponsored my career. A sponsor is someone who kicked all the barriers for you. So never ever forget where you come from.
Where you come from.
Sure.
Sure.
You know, and this one thing we teach our kids.
Yeah.
Never ever forget. Go back always and say thank you.
Thank you. That's really
that
important.
One mom, because now, you know, people are going to the universities and tertiary now. I remember when I went, one mom donated the linen. You go back and say thank
and
you.
Thank you. Yeah. Very important.
Yeah, just that linen or the shoes.
Yeah.
Go back and say thank you. The church where you come from.
Yeah.
They've been praying for you. Go back and say thank you.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yes. And that's the attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
So go back and say thank you.
Yeah.
So never ever forget where you come from.
Never.
Three, don't compare yourself.
Yes.
You are lonely. Yes, there's many dentists, but you are lonely.
Yes.
So do lonely.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Very, very critical thing. Never compromise your values and your beliefs.
Never
ever compromise that.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
That's amazing.
So No, never compromise that. For instance, in our practice, when we start in the morning, we start with a prayer, whether I'm there or not.
Yes.
It's part of, I will call, I always invite it and say, it's part of your job description. Yes. You will start with a prayer.
Yes. Yeah.
We're not pushing it down the throat, but this practice has been built around those values.
That's very
so true. Never, but sometimes we want to fit in, and now, you know, because you know, it's colleagues, and now we, you know, talking certain language, and now it's like praying is like, okay, now it's like something ashamed of. So never compromise your values and your beliefs, no matter what.
Yeah.
Stand for what you believe for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what's going to open doors for you. That's what is going to open doors for you.
Yeah.
Can I share something?
Yes, please.
My colleagues have always said to me, why do you close on a Saturday? Because Saturday is the busiest.
Yeah.
And it's true. Saturday is the busiest, right?
Yeah.
But look at God. We've made up to scale up our business and we're closing every Sabbath.
Imagine.
Right?
Yeah.
So never ever compromise who you are and your belief system.
Yeah.
It is very important.
Yeah. Sure. And that's really important.
Just the very, very last thing.
No problem.
Go back and plow in your community.
Okay.
So God has placed you, you know, on that journey to becoming a lawyer, a doctor. It's not about yourself.
It's not about yourself.
I think that's what's so important to understand. It's not about you.
Yeah.
You are just a vehicle.
Yeah.
So that many others may benefit from
it. Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
We, in 2022, we launched a foundation, Kids Dental Home Foundation.
Yes.
Which is an NPO, and its sole purpose is to raise funds to what we do. We offer free surgeries for kids.
Yes.
Right? So these are the kids between 1 and 7 years of age that their parents cannot afford the theater fees because it's quite exorbitant fees to pay.
Yes.
But the children are suffering, you know, with pain, in pain. They sleep with pain, wake up with pain, and they cannot be helped by the parents.
Yeah.
The government hospitals are so full to help them. They get waiting list of 3 years or so.
Yeah.
So that's why we come in as a foundation, and we, through the help of volunteers, and we raise funds for these kids so that they can get the help they need. So go back and plow back in your industry.
Yes.
So the profession must be better because of you.
Yes.
You cannot be like any other.
Sure. Yeah. Doc, we've run out of time and I've taken much of your time, more than I promised you, but I think there's still a lot to unpack. But I really appreciate you spending time with us and letting us in a little bit. And thanks for the insights, the advice that you've just mentioned. I wrote these points that you mentioned down, and I hope that my listeners as well, they will write them down and implement them. Go back to where you come from. Go and say thank you, for example. We have this African belief that, you know, umntwana okhuliswa yi-community yonke, you know. So there is always someone who has contributed somehow to your, even if that you didn't like. But it is that mama that encouraged you to go to school, and maybe today you reap the rewards of that. And I'm just making an example that it takes a village to really raise a child. So thank you so much, Doc. Really appreciate your time. Wish you nothing but the best for 2025. I will definitely be making sure that I come for the launch. So I will just, reach out to you on the sides and see how we make that happen. But I definitely would like to be there. And we wish you nothing but the best, and the family as well, for 2025.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Doc. Really appreciate it. Have a good one. Thank you so much. That was a good doctor there. That is our Dr. Maboye talking to us this evening about herself, her business, what she does, where she's been, her career. I hope you are blessed. Go back to the people that helped you to be where you are and say thank you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.